Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Now that we have the tools that we need installed, we're ready to get started in building our first Windows Phone 8 app. So here's our game plan in this lesson. The first thing we'll do is create a new Windows Phone app using the project templates in Visual Studio or Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows Phone, like I'll use in this series. We're going to make some simple edits to the default page that's added to our project called mainpage.xaml. We're going to remove some boilerplate comments. We're going to add a media control, which will allow us to play a sound, and we'll add a button to the user interface so that a user could click on the button. Then what we'll do is we'll write an event handler in C# that will respond to the button click event. So when a user touches the button, we want to be able to write C# code that will handle that event. And inside of that event handler, we're going to then play a WAV file, a duck's quack, okay? Just so we can see it all working, and we'll have that finished in this short lesson. So hopefully some of the basic steps, like creating new projects, adding new files to a project, and so on, are already familiar to you, whether from personal experience or from watching some of the other Fundamentals or Absolute Beginner series on Channel 9. I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain things I think you already should know. If that's not familiar to you, like I said at the outset of this series of lessons, then please take the time to first review the C# for Absolute Beginner series here on Channel 9. All right, so this will look a little bit different depending on whether you're in Visual Studio Pro or the Express Edition, but essentially you want to go File, New Project, one way or another, to get to the New Project dialog. We'll want to use the C# templates, the Windows Phone templates on the left. In the center area, you want to select the Windows Phone app template, and then we're going to rename this project Pet Sounds, and then click the OK button. And you'll see this little dialog that pops up. It'll allow us to choose between different versions of the operating system that we can target. But since this series is only targeting the Windows Phone operating system version 8.0, then just make sure you have this latter option selected. Just so you know, you can create apps that target previous versions of Windows Phone, the Windows Phone operating system. If you want to expand your app's reach to owners of older phone devices, you'll just have no access to the newer features that were added into version 8.0. All right, so let's go ahead and click OK. And it'll take just a few moments to set up the project and to load the template into the design area. You'll notice, first of all, that these screens are called pages, as in the mainpage.xaml. So in our first steps, we're only going to work with a single page, but in other apps, we're going to add pages and then be able to navigate between them. So I assume that you've never worked with a Windows Phone project template before. And so if that's the case, then what you see here is just the representation of the mainpage.xaml. It's loaded into the Visual Designer, and there are two parts. On the left-hand side, you see the Visual Designer surface. And while you could use this as your primary means of laying out and adding controls to your Windows Phone app, you can go to the toolbox and, like, for example, add a button, drag and drop it from the toolbox onto the designer surface. I primarily only use this designer surface, let me delete that button, as just feedback for whatever I do in the XAML editor here on the right hand side. Let's resize this, and I'm going to actually change the zoom level to like 50% so that we can see more of that. A little housekeeping here. All right, so here on the right hand side, I typically write all of my XAML by hand. So the changes that I make in the XAML code will be reflected then in the Visual Designer. And vice versa, if I were to use the toolbox to drag and drop controls onto the design surface, you'll see them reflected in the XAML editor as well. So these are just two perspectives of the same thing. They represent the same idea, main page, okay? And so you can see between these two panes, there's a number of different options to like switch the panes back and forth and things of that nature. I'll let you go ahead and play around with these, and they're pretty self-explanatory. If you just take a moment to play around with them, you understand what they're there for. However, since it's not really critical to our lesson, I just want to move ahead really quickly. In the XAML pane, what I want to do next is remove two large comment passages, this boilerplate comments that are added here by default. And that reminds me, while I'm looking at this XAML editor, what I want to do is make sure that you have the line numbering turned on in your version of Visual Studio or the Express Edition. So we're going to go to Tools, options, and we're going to want to drill down to the text editor section here on the left. And there are two things that we want to change. In the C# text editor, we want to make sure that line numbers is selected, like you see here. And then I'm going to go to the XAML portion for the text editor, and then make sure that line numbers are turned on there as well. And then click OK. And this will allow us to keep in sync so that you can see what I'm seeing on screen. And if something doesn't sync up, or I can reference, I'll take a look at line 36, for example. Okay. All right. So what I want to do is remove these comments. They're pretty self-explanatory if you take time to read them. And we'll actually follow some of these a little bit later on. But notice that comments are added to XAML using the same syntax that you would use in HTML. So there's an open angle bracket, an exclamation mark, and a dash dash. That is to open the comment. And to close the comment, you see a dash dash close angle bracket. So we're just going to want to use our mouse cursor to select the entire area and then hit the delete key on our keyboard. And we can remove some of that white space as well. And we'll do the same thing here as well. I'm just going to select all of the comments. You can notice by default they're in green, so it's easy to visually identify them. All right, and so the next thing that we want to do is I'm going to begin to work with this area here, beginning in line 29 on my screen. It might be a little bit different on yours. This content panel area, it's a grid. There's an open grid element with some attributes set and a closed grid element. And we're going to want to do our work right between there. This will allow us to make changes in this content panel area of our user interface. Notice that there's also this title panel here. And if I select it, you can see its selection is made here in approximately line number 25, where we can change the title of the app and the page's name on line number 26 if we want to. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But what we want to do right now is we're going to add some new XAML code between the opening and closing grid elements that comprise our content panel. Okay, so here we go. We're going to add a button by using an open and close angle bracket syntax, just like you would see in HTML. So we're just going to type in the word button and then the close angle bracket. When I do that, notice that Visual Studio adds a second bracket. That bracket has the word slash button, which indicates an open and a closing button. And so everything in between here will be what will appear inside of the button. So I'm going to type in the word quack. Okay, and now on the left-hand side in the designer, you can see that we have an entire content panel filled with a quack button. Now that's simply not going to do. What we're going to want to do is restrict the size of the button by setting a height and a width attribute. And so what I'll do is go just inside of the open button element, and I'm going to type the word height equals 200. And then I'm going to use the enter key on my keyboard right after the closing quotation mark, after the number 200, but before the closing angle bracket. And I'm going to go to the next line. And this will allow me to keep all the attributes that I use kind of lined up together, and it'll appear more readable, at least for me. You can choose not to do that. It doesn't really matter. But I'm going to set the width now to 200. And when I do that, and I spell the word width correctly, there we go. Now you can see that our button only takes up 200 pixels by 200 pixels of screen real estate. Great. Now, what I want to do next is move that button control to the upper left-hand corner of the page, beneath the page title, and I want to also make its background color red. And I'm going to do one more thing, too, and I'm going to give it a name, and I'll talk about why I want to do that here in just a moment, but name equals play audio button, and then the next thing I'm going to do is set the horizontal alignment equal to left, and the vertical alignment equal to top. And then finally, I'm going to choose background equal red. Great. All right, so you can see that that's made some dramatic changes to our button on our user interface. I gave the button control a name so that I can reference it programmatically in C#. So giving controls names is optional in XAML. You only need to give things names that you want to allow access somehow in C Sharp. I know I'll want to access this button a little bit later, so I give it a programmatic name now. Now the Visual Designer updates to show the effects of our changes. That's a great start, and you can see that we can manipulate the visual qualities of objects in our Windows Phone page by setting attributes on those objects. All right? All right, so next let's add a media element control to the XAML page, and we'll do that beneath our button control. So I'm going to go to the closing bracket of the button, or the closing button element, and I'm going to type in media element, and I'm going to give it a name as well. Notice I use X colon name. I'll talk about that in an upcoming video. And I'm going to call this Quack Media Element. And I'm going to set its source equal to an empty double quotes. And then I'm going to use a different style syntax this time. Instead of typing slash media element to close it, I'm just going to use the open bracket with the slash close bracket, so it's a self-enclosing element in XAML, all right? And notice that I can add extra white space and extra lines between my XAML code, and it won't harm anything. As you'll learn a little bit later, Visual Studio will automatically indent and space the code for readability. However, it won't impact how it's rendered on the actual application's user interface, okay? Also, I've not set the source attribute of the media element just yet. That's because I don't have any sources, in other words, any media elements like sound files in my project to choose from. So let's start and do that next. So make sure that you've downloaded the assets that accompany this video. You can download them from the place where you're currently watching this video or where you originally downloaded it from. So I've unzipped that file into a folder called C9 Phone 8, and I put it in my documents directory. And inside of that, you can see that there are three subfolders. What we'll want to do is go to this Pet Sounds Assets folder, and what I want to do is I'm going to drag and drop the audio subfolder into our project, but I want to make sure that it goes to the right place. So I want to go to this Assets folder in Solution Explorer and just expand it so I can see it. You can see that it already has a Tiles subfolder and a couple of other PNG files. And so now what I want to do is this. I'm going to drag and drop the audio folder here into the Assets folder in the Solution Explorer here. And you can see now it has included all of those audio files. And there's a subfolder under audio called Animals. And then there are a number of wave files. These are actually sound files that we can then play in our app. Very cool. And so what I want to do is I want to access a specific one. We're going to use this one called duck.wav. And I'm going to add that as a value for the source attribute in my media element XAML, media element XAML element. So what I'll do to reference it is go here in the source. I'm going to use a /assets/audio/animals. So I'm just repeating that folder structure, /duck.wav. All right. And I'm also going to add a couple of additional attributes. For example, volume, I'll set that equal to 1. And I'm going to set autoplay equal to false, like so. Okay, so hopefully the source made sense. We're just following this path relative to the mainpage.xaml in our project. So if you think about the mainpage.xaml at kind of the root of our project, then in order to navigate down the directory structure of assets, audio, animals, and then finally the file we're looking for, which is duck.wav, we use a series of forward slashes, just like we would if we were trying to navigate into a website. All right. Next, you can see that I set the volume equal to 1. This seems like a small value, but in XAML, that's actually the highest, or in this case, the loudest value. So in XAML, you'll see 0.0 used as the smallest value and 1.0 used as the largest value available. And then 0.5 is halfway. It's somewhere in between. And it's always the C-sharp data type double in this case, even if I don't represent it with a 1.0. That's essentially what it means, all right? And then finally, you'll see that I added this autoplay equals false. If I set this to true, then the duck.wav sound file would play immediately as my app is loaded, and that's not what I want. I want to trigger the playback of that wav file when I click the quack button. And so what we need to do is write code next to accomplish that. All right, so in the buttons XAML element, what I want to do is this. Watch closely. I'm going to type in click equals, and when I do that, notice there's a little helper window that appears below it that says new event handler. I'm going to go ahead and use the enter key on my keyboard or the return key, since that is highlighted in blue, and it will automatically generate for me a name of an event handler in a C# file. So the name of that method is going to be play audio button underscore click. All right, very cool. And so next what I want to do is write code that'll execute when somebody clicks on this button. We want this play audio button click method to fire. And so what I want to do is right click anywhere in here. I'm just going to go ahead and right click on this inside of the button and select navigate to event handler. And when I do that, you can see that a page called the mainpage.xaml.cs will open up in the main area. Now, if you take a look at in the Solution Explorer, we have mainpage.xaml. If I were to use the little arrow next to it, you can see that it has a relationship with another file called mainpage.xaml.cs. If you're new to creating Windows, web, or now phone apps in Visual Studio, you'll come to realize that there's two parts to these pages that we're creating. There's the XAML and the design view, which allows us to write declarative code or XAML code. And then there's a related code view with a .cs file extension that allows us to define the behavior by writing C# code. These are two halves of the same concept. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. In Visual Studio, your cursor should be located between the opening and closing curly braces for this play audio button underscore click. And so since this code block will execute whenever somebody taps on the quack button on the phone, we want to trigger the media element to play the sound that we've set in the source attribute, namely that quack.wav file. So we're going to write code to play that sound. So quack media element dot play, call the play method. And so here what I'm doing is I'm just using the media element's name, quack media element that we set in XAML, to access it programmatically. Then I want to call its play method to kick off the playback of the source, or in other words, the quack.wav file. So let's go ahead and save what we have, and we're going to test the app. Again, this should be familiar to you. You're going to run the application in debug mode the same way that you would run a console application that we created in the C# Fundamentals or Absolute Beginner series. You'll either do that by clicking the little run button next to this word emulator, which we'll talk about later, or you can hit the F5 key on your keyboard. So I'm going to go ahead and click this button. And what you see next is the Windows Phone emulator. It's a virtual machine that's running the full Windows Phone 8 operating system. In other words, the operating system actually thinks it's running on a physical phone device. However, it's virtual in the sense that Microsoft created software that mimics the phone hardware in every way. So we're going to be using the phone emulator extensively in this series, as it's easier than deploying our test to a physical phone each time that we want to test the code that we've written or test a change that we've made. You're going to learn more about the features of the phone emulator in this series and a whole lesson devoted to it. All right. So what we want to do is we're going to use the mouse to simulate using your finger to tap on the screen of the phone. And what we want to do is click the little red quack button. Okay. If your computer is set up to hear audio, you'll hear a duck's quack through the speakers, to your headset or speakers. And I happen to hear it here, even though I'm not playing it out loud through speakers. So then to stop debugging, what we want to do is go back to Visual Studio, which should be behind it, and we're going to click the little red square button on the toolbar. And that will stop the application from running. But you'll notice that the emulator is still running in the background, and that's okay. Go ahead and let it continue to run. It's fine, especially if you're going to continue on to the next lesson in the series. Okay, so to quickly recap, in just one lesson, we created a simple soundboard app. We learned how to create a Windows Phone project, how to modify the declarative XAML code to add and configure controls. We learned how to add assets to the project and how to reference them in our code, and how to add event handlers to respond to certain events that are triggered by the end user, in this case a button click. We learned how the mainpage.xaml and the mainpage.xaml.cs are related, and we're going to learn more about that in upcoming lessons. We learned how to trigger methods of the controls to play sound whenever a user taps the button. Finally, we learned about the Windows Phone emulator as a means of testing our apps in a virtual environment. However, there's a lot to talk about now. If you're new to XAML, it's really important for you to have a solid foundation with it. So in the next lesson, I want to talk about the features of XAML and build on those throughout the remainder of this series. As I said at the outset, many of the lessons that you learn here will transfer over to all the APIs that Microsoft provides that utilize XAML, such as Windows Presentation Foundation and Windows Store Apps. So it's crucial that you get XAML under your belt. Okay, so we'll pick it up in the next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you.